Podcast.
Hey, I'll call your soul! I'll call your soul! I'll call your soul!
My old grandpa is the best killer there ever was.
What is up? Welcome to the Horrorcore Podcast, Episode 3. This is Bart, your host. You can email me at horrorcorebart@yahoo.com. That's HORRORBART @yahoo.com. You can also call and leave voicemails at 269-823-9037. We will try, you call, email, give me some suggestions. I've been through this shit before. Actually have gotten some responses, thankfully, but really no suggestions, so guys need to work on that. Help me out a little bit. This episode was supposed to be the Silent Night, Deadly Night series, but I have yet to watch all of them, so I'm going to put together kind of a different show, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, while I still watch the Silent Night, Deadly Night series. Today, we're going to cover what's coming up in 2011 as far as horror movies. And I'm also going to give you my feelings on the whole remake fad of horror movies. I don't know if you call it a fad because it seems like it's here to stay. So we're going to get into that. We're also going to feature a lot of music from Mike Patton today. If you're not familiar with his work, he was the lead singer of Faith No More. He was also the lead singer of Mr. Bungle. He has tons of side projects that he works on. Phantomus, which is a group that's comprised of Buzz Osborne from the Melvins playing guitar. Also has Dave Lombardo from Slayer playing the drums. Going to feature some of that music. Actually, in my intro music, the beginning where it's, la, 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 that's actually Phantomus' cover of the song from Rosemary's Baby. They have an album out called Director's Cut, which they basically just took a bunch of the theme songs from the beginning of the movies, as far as like Godfather's on there, Fire Come Walk With Me is on there, the X-Files theme, what else is Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, Rosemary's Baby. They take the theme songs and they put their own little twist on them, and it is an awesome album. I highly suggest you go buy it. Mike Patton also has the band Peeping Tom. He's in Tomahawk. He's done millions of collaborations with other artists. He did the score for the movie Crank 2. He's just an amazing, amazing artist. So we'll be featuring some of his music today. We're also going to try out a new segment today. It's going to be I'm basically going to interview my 5-year-old son. So we'll see how that goes. I want to give thanks to Mike over at the Body Count podcast. You can find that podcast at bodycount.podomatic.com. He gave me all kinds of shouts on his last episode, and he actually played a song for me, too. So thanks, Mike. Really appreciate that. I also would like to thank Gruesome Herzog. He has his own show over at Podomatic, too. It's called Gruesome Herzog's Interviews. Podomatic.com. He basically interviews directors, producers, actors, writers, just people that are involved with horror movies. He does interviews with them. Enjoy that show. Also, I've been listening to a lot of Joe Rogan's podcast. If you're not familiar with him, he was on the show News Radio way back in the day. He also hosted Fear Factor. and he's a commentator for the UFC. It is an excellent podcast. You guys should check it out. This guy's a genius. He can talk about anything and everything, and he does. I highly suggest you check it out. It's at joerogan.net. Recently, I've watched Food Nation, the documentary, and that is a mind... It's a mind fuck. It opens your eyes to so many things that you might have known about, but just not the detail. It's very graphic. It definitely changed my view on the way I'm going to eat. If you like shitty food, I suggest you don't watch this. But actually, you know what? Fuck that. I suggest everybody watch this. Educate yourselves, people. Open your fucking minds. See what the fuck is going on out there. I'm a big fan of documentaries. I'm always looking into to educate myself. I suggest you check that out. All right, we are... Like I said, I want to thank Gruesome Herzog. Shit, completely slipped my mind. He actually called and left me a voicemail. Wasn't a long voicemail, so I'm not going to share it with you. But he basically just told me to keep up the good work, keep doing what I'm doing. He also sent me an email to the same effect. So thank you, Gruesome Herzog. Love the feedback. The only feedback I've gotten so far, and I consider it to be positive. So 100% positive feedback I have received so far for my show. So I'm obviously doing something right. So, unless you think otherwise, if you don't think so, fucking call me or write me, and I will take that into consideration and try to switch shit up. But I'm going to keep doing what I'm fucking doing then. All right, let's get into some news. I was reading online about Zombie 2, and apparently Woody Harrelson doesn't want to do it. He says that, you know, 99 out of 100 of the sequels to the original movies aren't as good. So he says that he is not interested in doing a sequel, which kind of fucks things up, if you ask me. Woody Harrelson was an integral part to Zombieland. Loved his character, Tallahassee. Oh, it was great, and I don't know how they're going to go on without him. Maybe try to interject someone else in for the comedy, but that... see how that's going to work. So, kind of disappointed to read that. Was also reading about Rob Zombie's next movie, about the Witches of Salem or some bullshit like that. Apparently, he's going to start shooting in June. But I told you I felt about that on the last episode. We'll see how it turns out. And I also was reading that they are going to remake The Crow. And apparently, they offered the lead part of Eric Draven to Marky Mark. Marky fucking Mark. How the hell are they going to offer a classic character like that to Marky Mark? For one, Marky Mark is a shit fucking actor. How the hell is he going to fill the shoes of Brandon Lee? You know, from what I read, apparently Marky Mark says he's not going to do it. I fucking hope not. But just a simple fact that the people that are making this fucking remake are going to try to put Marky Mark as a lead character shows that they have no fucking integrity. For one, how the fuck are you going to remake The Crow? That movie is a classic. For one, just the circumstances behind it. Brandon Lee died shooting that movie. You can't remake that. You cannot go back and redo it. They've made a ton of shitty sequels to that. Why don't you, if you're going to make a bullshit piece of fucking ass movie, then make another goddamn remake. Or not remake, but sequel. You cannot remake The Crow. I read that this morning before I went to work, and it just fucking infuriated me. Almost ruined my day. But I managed to get past it, thankfully, until now. Now I'm all fucking worked up again. I can't believe they're going to do this. So hopefully whoever is leading the charge to remake The Crow gets nut cancer and dies a slow, painful death, because that's what he fucking deserves for even thinking about doing this shit. All right. Well, that's going to do it for news. Hopefully I didn't offend anybody, but if I did, oh fucking well. Actually, you know what? No, if I did, fucking call me or write me and tell me so. But if I didn't, whatever. Let's get on with the show. Thank you. let's try out a new segment here. Like I said before, in this segment, I will be interviewing my youngest son, Nolan. See what's on his mind when it comes to horror. And here we go. 5 years old. Nolan. I'm sitting here with my 5-year-old son, Nolan. Say hello, Nolan.
Hello.
That's not your real voice, is it?
No.
So, Nolan, tell me, what is your favorite scary movie?
Chucky.
Chucky? Which one? There's a whole bunch of them.
5.
5? Are you sure it's not the Hannah Montana movie?
No.
I find that movie and Hannah Montana in general to be very scary. You don't?
No, it's not even scary.
Okay, what's your favorite part about Chucky 5?
I forgot.
You forgot, huh? What else, what other scary movies do you like?
Jeepers Creepers.
What did you like about Jeepers Creepers?
When he died.
But he didn't die. What are you talking about? When who died?
Jeepers Creepers.
But the creeper didn't die. He's still alive.
He just grew a wing out of him.
That's it.
What?
That's it. That's it, huh? So what else? Is there any other scary movies that you like?
No.
None at all?
Mm-mm.
You didn't like the Evil Dead movie we watched?
I didn't see all of it.
What about the parts of it you saw? Did you like it?
I like the blob.
Oh, the blob, but you didn't see all of the blob either.
I know, but I like the part that I saw.
Do you remember the part that you saw?
No, but I still know it.
Oh, you're just silly, aren't you?
No, I forgot it.
Oh. So what else do you like to do?
Play with toys.
What's your favorite toy?
I do not know.
Do you like any kind of music?
No.
You don't like any music at all, huh?
Nope.
All right. Well, I guess that concludes my interview with my 5-year-old son. Say goodbye, Nolan.
Bye-bye! Look how high it went.
What went?
That.
What's that from?
Me saying bye. What's coming up in horror for 2011. I'm going to go over quite a few movies here and give you my thoughts and opinions on said movies. So, first up, we have Zombieland 2. I don't think they've started shooting this movie yet, because from what I understand, Woody Harrelson isn't on board and doesn't know if he will be on board. So this one is kind of up in the air. Definitely look forward to it, but we will see how it works out. Next up, we have Quarantine 2. This one is called Quarantine 2 Terminal. The director is John Pogue. It's going to be starring George Back, Andrew Benator, and Brie Blair. Apparently, this one doesn't really have many ties to the first one.
Whereas with Wreck and Wreck 2 picks up right where Wreck 1 left off, this one isn't going to be doing that. This one apparently is going to be taking place in an airport. Wasn't a big fan of Quarantine. He was kind of boring, I thought. I watched it once a long time ago. Well, actually, when it first came out on video, I watched it. Then I started hearing a lot of podcasts talk about it. So I figured I'd give it another watch it with my wife, and still wasn't too impressed with it. I found it kind of boring, and I'm not a big fan of Jennifer Carpenter. She's very odd-looking. Can't really get a grasp on what it is about her. Maybe it's that she is, I don't know, a beanpole with alien eyes? I don't know. I don't really care for her too much. But no release date for that one as of yet. Next we have The Human Centipede 2. It's the same writer and director, Tom Six. Apparently this one is in post-production right now. And this one's going to have, it's called, what's it called? The Full something. It's going to involve 12 people this time to the centipede. It's supposed to be, from what I read, Tom Six is saying that the first human, full sequence, that's what it was supposed to be called, full sequence. And from what Tom Six is saying, the first Human Centipede was basically a warm-up act to get people kind of desensitized to what he's going to do with this one. This one is supposed to just be way more graphic, way more intense. Sounds pretty mind-blowing. I did not care for the first Human Centipede. It's worth watching just to say that, you know, I've seen it. But I didn't care for it too much. It was, you know, bad acting. The lead character, the evil scientist or the doctor or whatever he was, I did not like him at all. It was basically, you know, shock for the sake of shock with the first one. But I'm definitely going to check this one out. Hopefully it's better. No release date on that one as of right now. Next we have Red State, directed by Kevin Smith of Mallrats and Jay and Silent Bob fame. This one stars Michael Parks, Melissa Leo, and John Goodman. Has a release date right now of October 19th, 2011. Apparently I've watched the trailers. It looks pretty good. I mean, I'm definitely interested in seeing it. Apparently it takes place, the plot is some teenagers that get emailed an invitation for a sex party or something to that effect, but instead they encounter a bunch of deranged Christian fundamentalists, and looks kind of maybe in the torture porn realm, but it definitely looks interesting, so you're going to have to check that out. Next up, we have Paranormal Activity 3, directed by Todd Williams, who directed the second one. The only person listed as a star for this one is Katie Featherston. This has a release date of October 21st, 2011. Really not much not many details on this one. I've heard things about maybe it being a prequel. We'll see. Not a big fan of the first two. I mean, they're watchable, good to see once. Not big on the rewatchability with those films. But if you like the first two, I bet you you'll go see the third one. Next up, we have The Thing prequel. This is going to be directed by Mathis Van Heidenganden. Some fucked up name, Norwegian. It's going to star Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Joel Edgerton. Apparently this is going to take place, it's going to feature, if you remember John Carpenter's version of The Thing, how, you know, you pick up with a dog running from that first camp of scientists. Apparently this is going to focus on that first camp of scientists, see how they discovered The Thing and whatnot. So this has a release date of October 14th, 2011. And apparently this is the same team that remade Dawn of the Dead. they were looking through a bunch of archived, not archived, but older movies to remake, and they came across The Thing. And they said in interviews that there's no way they could remake The Thing. That it's just, The Thing is untouchable, John Carpenter's version. You can't remake a classic. They also said, you know, they threw in there, you don't remake The Exorcist, some other movie they threw out there too. But I enjoyed the remake of Dawn of the Dead, so hopefully they put together a good prequel to The Thing, because The Thing was a great movie. Love to see how it started. Next up, we have a movie called The Thompsons. This is going to be a sequel to the movie The Hamiltons, which I believe was an After Dark, Eight Films to Die For, one of those, about a family of vampires. This is going to be directed by the Butcher Brothers again, who did the first one, starring Mackenzie Fergins, Joe McKellar, and Corey Neate. Apparently this one's going to take place in England. They have to relocate after the events of the first film. And this has a November 19th release date, 2011 again. And next up, we have a movie called Some Guy Who Kills People. I've actually seen the trailer to this, and it looks pretty awesome. It's a horror comedy. John Landis is producing it. The director is Jack Perez, starring Barry Bostwick, Kevin Corrigan, and Lucy Davis. This is basically, you know, a slasher flick, but with a heavy dark comedy aspect. The star of it you've seen in a ton of shit. You'll see him and you go, oh, that guy. Yeah, I've seen him. So definitely looking forward to that. Don't have a release date, but it looks like it's going to be sometime soon if you can't already find it online, which is a possibility. Also coming out this year, you know, we have the standards, The Priest, that should be coming out soon. Definitely want to check that out. That has to do with vampires. It takes place in the future where, you know, they don't acknowledge the existence of vampires, but there's a priest that looks like his family had been attacked by a vampire, so he goes on the hunt for him, and, the priests don't care for him doing that, so they send people after him. That looks pretty good. Looks more like an action movie, kind of in the realm of the Underworld movies. Unfortunately, this year we have Scream 4 coming out, which looks like a complete waste of time and money. We also have Final Destination 5, which also, you know, is going to retread all the same old bullshit from the first four. So, like I said, unfortunately, those movies are coming out. I will not be seeing them. Actually, who am I bullshitting? I'll probably fucking watch them, being the horror junkie that I am. So, that's it for my list of things that I'm looking forward to coming up this year. So, let's get on into topic of tonight, which will be horror movie remakes. Going to touch on the subject of horror movie remakes. As you know, we have just been bombarded with horror movie remakes as of late. The trend really started back in, what, about 99 with The Haunting and House on Haunted Hill. I believe the company is Dark Castle was the company that started doing that. And it came really apparent that you can make a lot of money off of remaking an old horror movie. You already have the premise there, and you just go with it, maybe tweak it a little bit. Sometimes don't even tweak it at all, and you run with it, and you just make money hand over fist. Now, we have a couple of remakes that are scheduled to come up this year. Most notably, in my opinion, will be Fright Night. The original is a classic, if you ask me. I love that movie. And you got Colin Farrell coming back, or not coming back, but is going to be there playing the vampire that lives next door. You have that the kid from Alpha Dog, the little brother that gets kidnapped in Alpha Dog. He will apparently be playing the lead role, and his friend Eddie is going to be played by none other than Mick Lovin. So, with this central cast, boy, it's either going to be really good or it's going to be really bad. I just don't think it's going to be anywhere in the middle. What other remakes? There were some other remakes that are going to be coming out this year. Obviously, nothing that jumps right out at you. I don't know. I'll touch on those if I remember them. But we're going to go over just a whole slew of horror movie remakes now. Got a bunch of details as far as how much money they made and what IMDb rated them. We might get into that. We might not. But first up, we have The Thing. The original was called The Thing from Another World, and that was made in 1951. If you look close in John Carpenter's original Halloween movie, that's the movie that everybody's watching on the TV. The old black and white flick. It must have been a favorite of John Carpenter's, because he's the one that remade it in 1982. And he remade it into an instant classic. Just the effects, especially for it being 1982, the effects are fucking awesome. And it's a very intense movie. Lots of suspense in it. I loved it. I'm not one of these people that would drop to his knees and suck John Carpenter's dick because of it, like a lot of people do. A lot of people hail John Carpenter as the fucking messiah of horror movies. I don't. I like a lot of his early movies, but he has really taken a shit lately. Very disappointed in what he's been putting out. But at least we have the classics that he created. Next up, we have The Fly. Never seen the original, back from 1958. I believe it had Vincent Price in it. I mean, personally, I'm not a big fan of black and white movies. Don't know if I touched on this before, but I've watched, you know, Bucket of Blood, Blood-Sucking Freaks, the original Nightmare, or Night of the Living Dead. That's about as far back as I'll go into the horror movie genre. I'm not one of these snobs that, oh, you must have seen every horror movie. Fuck that, whatever. You know, you need to enjoy it. You need to enjoy what you're watching, or at least try to enjoy what you're watching. But if I were to go back and watch The Fly, or the original Thing, or the old Frankenstein or Dracula movies, I would go into it, when it started, knowing that it was going to be boring. So why intentionally put myself to that? But anyways, David Cronenberg remade The Fly back in 1986 with Jeff Goldblum. I loved that movie. It was a personal favorite of mine growing up. Jeff Goldblum, that's when he was at his peak. Excellent, excellent movie. Great effects, with the exception of the end, when the reveal of the fly comes. That part of it sucked. But overall, it was a great movie. Then we have The Blob. The Blob, the original, was made in 1958. Never seen it. Like I said, not going to go back to that. Then it was remade in 1972 with the title Beware the Blob. And I didn't see that movie either. But I did see the version that was made in 1988 with with Matt Dillon's retarded little brother. You ever look at him and notice that he looks like he got all the bad genes? Because you can tell that him, Kevin Dillon, and Matt Dillon are brothers. But Matt Dillon is an attractive man. Kevin Dillon looks like he got all the shit that ran down the leg. He is very odd looking. But anyways, yep, that movie, I actually just rewatched it again a couple weeks ago. And it does hold up for the most part. It does have some cheese element to it, but it's from 1988. Almost every horror movie that came out in the 80s has a big element of cheese. So if you can get past that, it is an enjoyable movie. The effects are dated, but they can't all be home runs. Next up, we have Invasion of the Body Snatchers. This was remade quite a few times. The original came out in 1956. Never seen it. Then it was remade in 78. That's a great year, as a matter of fact, 1978. I have seen that version with Donald Sutherland. And, it was a very entertaining movie. That had the same title, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. In 1993, they remade it, but they switched up the title. It was just called Body Snatchers. I do believe I've seen that one. It doesn't come right to memory, so it must not have been that great of a movie. But it does sound very familiar, and I've seen most of Abel whatever his fucking last name is. I've seen most of his movies, so I'm pretty confident in saying that I've seen this. But like I said, it must not have been that great because it's not ringing anything to my brain here. Then it was remade in 2007, and they dropped everything and just called it Invasion. That's the one with Nicole Kidman and the dude that plays James Bond now. That movie I watched, and, I enjoyed it. It's definitely, a good time-killing movie. Nothing great, nothing original, but, it's not boring. I'll give it that. Next up, we have Night of the Living Dead. The George A. Romero classic, the original, was made in 1968. I can't rewatch. I can rewatch it. It's a great movie, but it's definitely is dated. Tom Savini, the person that did the effects work on the original Night of the Living Dead, remade it in 1990. And if I had to pick one of them to watch, I would definitely pick the one that Tom Savini did. Only because, I was born in 78. And it's personal preference. I would rather watch something in color, something that's a little closer to my generation. And it's almost a shot-for-shot remake. It's almost an identical clone of the original, so you're not losing anything watching it. Next up, we have Village of the Damned. The original was made in 1960. I've never seen it, and I probably never will. And John Carpenter decided to remake it in 1995. I've seen that version. Very boring, and it was a major, major flop. It cost $22 million to remake that movie, and they only brought in $9.4 million. I think that was the beginning of the downfall of Carpenter. After that, you had what? Vampires, John Carpenter's Vampires. That movie was shit. You had Ghosts of Mars. That movie was absolute fucking garbage. And I can keep going on. I hear this next one coming out, The Ward, is just atrocious. Of course I'm going to watch it, but from what I understand, I'm not going to be too happy with it. But we will see. Then we hit 1998, is really when the remakes started coming fast and furious. We have Psycho. The original Alfred Hitchcock classic was made in 1960. I've seen it. I'm just going to regurgitate other things that I've already said about the older movies. I'm not a fan of the older movies. It was the beginning of the slasher flick. It wasn't Halloween that started the whole slasher movies. Psycho was the original. And, granted, it was another, 17 years till Halloween came out. Halloween was basically just a jump start of the slasher slasher flick that Hitchcock started with Psycho. But anyways, I'm rambling. In 1998, Gus Van Sant, for some reason, decided to remake this movie. And it was a shot-for-shot remake, with the exception of some little interlude bullshit of, like, birds flying around and looking up at the sky and whatnot. Wasn't a big fan of it. Next up, we have The Haunting. The original was made in 1963. Never seen it. The remake was made in 1999. Now, I had seen this one. I actually went to the movie theater to see this one, unfortunately. And it had a big cast. You know, lots of stars in the cast. Had one of the, Owen Wilson, Catherine Zeta-Jones, that Irish dude that's in all the movies now. I don't know. It had a big cast, but it was a fucking boring movie. Boring as all shit. But the thing is, the interesting thing is, this movie only cost $4.6 million to make, and this fucking, oh no, I'm sorry, it cost $80 million to make. But this movie brought in $177.3 million. So right there is what really started this massive trend of remaking horror movies. The studios more than doubled their money on this movie, so automatically light bulbs are going off over everybody's fucking heads. Which movies can we remake? Which ones can we find? Let's dig up some old movies and remake them. And the next one they found was House on Haunted Hill. The original was made in 1959. Never seen it. The remake came out in 1999, and I actually went to the theater to see this one, too. And I was pleasantly surprised with this movie. The beginning of it, especially the beginning, when the crazies take over the asylum and start killing the doctor and the nurses and shit, is pretty graphic. And this, you know, came out at a time when we were getting hit with, you know, the Scream trilogy and I Know What You Did Last Summer and stupid happy-go-lucky pretty teenager wins. And, you know, it's just stupid movies like that. Not gory or anything like that. Then this comes out, and it got a little gory, man. Like I said, I was pleasantly surprised with this movie. Now, I haven't rewatched it in a long time, so I don't know if it's held up over the past, you know, 11, 12 years, but I think I might give it a try. After that, 13 Ghosts came out. The original was made in 1960. Haven't seen it. The remake came out in 2001, and I enjoyed this movie also. You know, it's nothing stellar, it's nothing mind-blowing, it's not an instant classic or anything like that, but it definitely is an enjoyable movie. The effects are good. Some of those ghosts in there are pretty cool to see. I really enjoyed that movie. And I mean, these movies were still making money, hand over fist. Like 13 Ghosts cost $20 million to make, and the fucking thing brought in $68.4 million. That's over three times the money made back. You know, so it was just ridiculous. After that, we have the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The original 1974 classic is my all-time favorite horror movie. So naturally, when I saw that it was being remade, I was very skeptical and a little upset. I personally thought the original Chainsaw Massacre was untouchable. You couldn't remake that, you know. Kind of pissed me off. And of course I went to the theater to go see the remake. The remake, I went in trying to keep the two movies separated. I wanted to see the remake as a movie on its own, not compared with the original, which, you know, naturally is hard for someone like me. But I did as best as I could, and I wasn't pissed. I can give it that. I mean, the remake is a decent horror movie, as long as you keep the separation between the two. You know, it had a dirty feel to it, a grimy feel, like all horror movies should. The effects were decent. The storyline was good. R. Lee Remy is fucking awesome. You know, what else can I say? It's a good movie. You can't compare it to the original, but it is a good movie. It's worth watching. And the prequel was decent, too, I thought. But, I mean, the money-wise, this movie, you know, it only cost $9.2 million to make, and the fucking thing brought in $107 million. That is just, that is a gold mine right there. So, naturally, they're going to keep on going with this shit. Up next, we had Dawn of the Dead. The original was made in 1978, and a lot of people hold that movie. They believe that movie is the best horror movie ever made. It's the godfather of horror movies. I don't think so. I've watched that repeatedly, and I've tried to understand why people love it so fucking much. I mean, it's a good movie, don't get me wrong, but it is not, in my opinion, what people hold it up to be. The effects are bad. Well, not bad. Some of them are good. But the makeup is what I'm trying to say. The way the zombies look. It's not good. I don't know how to explain it. And I've never been scared of the slow, stumbling, bumbling zombie. And zombie movies are my favorite subgenre of horror movies. I love me a good zombie movie. But ever since they introduced the running zombie, I can't look at the old Romero zombie movies the same. Because a zombie running at you full speed, grunting and fucking wanting to bite your fucking head off, is probably the scariest thing you would ever see in your fucking life, man. But a zombie that's fucking can barely walk and is stumbling around and moaning, that's not scary. You can run circles around that bitch, you know, kick him in his ass a couple times. That's not scary. But anyways, I'm getting off track here. The original Dawn of the Dead, you know, definitely, it's a good movie. It's worth watching more than once. But I personally, the remake, I love much, much, much more than the original. And that's going to piss a lot of people off, but fuck, dude. Yeah, I am what I am, and that's what I like. The remake I thought was great. I went and saw it in the theater twice. Just the beginning, when the neighbor girl comes and bites dude's neck and gets thrown down the hallway and just fucking jumps up like, BAM! What now, bitch? And just comes full out run and trying to bang through the door. And, you know, Sarah Polley's freaking out. Then her husband's just bleeding all out his neck and everybody's freaking out, just a mass chaos, and then when her husband turns into a fucking zombie, too, oh, that's awesome. Then she takes off driving, and the whole neighborhood's going nuts, and the husband's fucking running after her behind the car until he catches, you know, that woman in the out of the corner of his eye in the yard and takes off after her. And then the helicopter view of the cars, and then Johnny Cash kicks in. Right there, bam! I was sitting in the theater, fucking bug-eyed, a big shit-eating grin on my face, and I was in love with that movie from then on. I've watched that movie so many goddamn times. It's an instant classic to me. It's in my top 10 all-time favorite horror movies. No, maybe not top 10, top 15. Alright, we'll move on. Probably piss enough people off with that opinion. Next up, we have the Amityville Horror. The original was made in 1979. The remake came out in 2005. Both of these movies are equally as shitty, period. The original is super fucking boring. Margot Kidder, I never liked her. The remake, I'm not a big fan of Ryan Reynolds, and the chick that was in the lead was fucking ugly as shit. And that's all I'm going to say about these two. Next up, we have House of Wax. The original came out in 1953, never seen it. The remake came out in 2005, seen that one. Unfortunately, Paris Hilton was in that movie, so that movie was a decent movie, with the exception of her. I cannot watch a movie and say that it was a good movie or an okay movie as long as she's in it. I can't stand that worthless piece of shit that people call Paris Hilton. She's a waste of human life. And I refuse to enjoy any movie that she's in. But, you know, we're still making money off these movies. That movie cost $40 million to make, and it brought in $70 million. You know, a $30 million profit is a good profit. I don't care what industry you're in. After that, we had The Fog. The original was made in 1980. John Carpenter classic. Love that movie. The remake came out in 2005. That movie was atrocious. For one, they showed the monsters, the zombies, or whatever you want to call them. Carpenter didn't do that in the original, and that was what was, you know, most intense about that movie, is you never really saw them. You had to use your imagination, which is something Carpenter was good at making you do. He was never really graphic or bloody, you know, back with Halloween and whatnot. And, you know, he made you think. He made you use your imagination, which was great. The original Far was far and away the better of these two. After that, we have 2001 Maniacs. The original was made, well, the original was called 2000 Maniacs and came out in 1964. The remake was called 2001 Maniacs and came out in 2005. That one had Robert Englund in it. I've never seen either one of these, so I can't comment on either one of them. After that, we have The Hills Have Eyes. The original came out in 1977. That was a Wes Craven movie. And Wes Craven only had $230,000 to make this movie. I believe it was his second movie that he made after Last House on the Left, so he didn't get a lot of money from studios to make that movie. It could have been it was a good movie to begin with, but if he had the budget behind it, like they did in the remake, it could have been an even better movie and might not have had to have been remade. The remake came out in 2006, produced by Wes Craven, so he had his hands on it to make sure it was done right, and boy, was it done right. This remake was fucking awesome compared to the original. Craven had the budget to do it the right way this time around. And, you know, it was almost exactly like the original, with a little bit thrown in. You know, where the dad goes on the hunt for his baby. And he goes into the little town of all the freaks and fucking mutants. And that was a fucking awesome element to add in. This is that movie all the way around. And it's mainly because of the money. The remake blew out the original. After that, we have Black Christmas. The remake came out in 1974. The original came out in 1974. And that one is credited for starting the whole point of view of the killer in the movies. Where you saw some of the killings and a lot of the movie through the eyes of the killer. I can't argue that, because before that other than the Psycho, when you're seeing Janet Leigh get stabbed in the shower, but I mean that really wasn't through the eyes of the killer. It was a good movie. It's definitely a good movie. The remake wasn't good. The remake came out in 2006. Unfortunately, I have sat through that movie. Not too much to talk about when it comes to that movie. It was a bad remake, period. After that, we have When a Stranger Calls. The original was made in 1979, and it was creepy as all hell. I remember seeing this as a kid. Just the phone calls. Why haven't you checked on the children? And, the babysitter freaks out and calls the cops, and the cops tell her, he's in the house. The calls are coming from inside the house. And that, it's... The second half of the movie really died out, but just that first half with the babysitter, that was fucking awesome, man. I really enjoyed the original. The remake was stupid as all shit. It took the premise and turned it into like a action suspense fucking movie. That movie was awful, man. Absolutely awful. I don't even remember if the kids survived in the remake or not. But that was the great thing about the original, is the fucking kids were dead, man. Anytime kids are killed, that just adds a whole other element of creepiness to the movie. But in this remake, I do believe the kids fucking survived. I don't know, the remake was horrible. It made me very, very angry. After that, we have The Omen. The original was made in 1976, and is held in pretty high regard. I mean, it's a good movie. It's kind of boring, but it's a good movie overall. You definitely have to be in the right frame of mind to watch that movie. And it was remade, basically a shot-for-shot remake in 2006, which was boring, not original, and not worth watching. First off, it had the Moonface chick in it. What's her name? She was on this last season of Dexter. Christ, her name slips my mind for now. But, yeah, you know, the Moonface chick. I hate her. She's ugly as all hell. And, I don't know. Just, the remake isn't... I mean, watch it, but it's not... Yeah, anyways. We have The Wicker Man. The original came out in 1973. It's a classic. A lot of people love it. I've never seen it, so I really can't... you know, expand too much on it. The remake came out in 2006, and this is when Nicolas Cage really started just taking anything that anybody sent him. As long as the check didn't bounce, he was making the fucking movie. And this movie was awful. Nicolas Cage used to be so good. Leaving Las Vegas was fucking awesome, and he won the Oscar for that. So I think after he won the Oscar, he basically said, all right, I've done all I can do with my career. Now let's make some fucking money. Because he just started pumping out movie after movie after fucking movie. And it's to the point I can't stand the dude anymore. But anyways, that movie was fucking awful. And it was a bit of a flop. Cost $40 million to make that movie. And the movie only brought in $38.7 million. And I do believe that was the first movie since the Psycho remake that lost money. Over my notes, and that's what it's looking like. Yeah, every other remake up to that point made money, and a nice chunk of money, and that one lost money. So, after that we have The Hitcher, the original 1986, with C. Thomas Howell and Rutger Hauer. I remember that movie. I had that movie on VHS and watched it a few times, and it's had a definite element of creepiness to it, especially with Rutger Hauer. He's just creepy when he wakes up in the morning. But they definitely enjoyed the original on that. The remake came out in 2007. I haven't seen the remake, and I probably never will. So I can't expand on that. I know IMDb gave it a 5.5, and they gave the original a 7.2. So, which is the case in most of these remakes. I don't think IMDb gave a better rating for the remake. I think they might have given the Hills Have Eyes. Yeah, they gave the Hills Have Eyes remake a better mark. The original they gave a 6.4. They gave the remake a 6.5, so a 0.1 rating better. The Amityville Horrors, they gave the exact same rating of a 5.8. Looks like, for the most part, they gave the remake a worse rating. Almost done here. Stick with me. And yeah, that's the case. The Fly, the remake, they gave a 7.5. The original, they gave a 7. So, two movies they gave a better rating to so far. But anyways, yeah, I won't watch a remake of The Hitcher. Up next, we have Halloween. Now, Rob Zombie can be a sore topic of discussion for some people. You either love them or you hate them. Or in my case, I loved them, and now I'm starting to hate them. So, the original came out in 1978. Great movie, obviously. John Carpenter classic. Like I said, it wasn't gory. A lot of suspense. Really jump-started the slasher genre. The Masked, you know, he also gets credited with the whole Masked Killer, but he wasn't the original. I've been over this. Leatherface is the original Masked Killer, and Halloween gets a lot of cred for the point of view of the killer, which he also ripped that off from a 1974 movie, Black Christmas. But he basically, you know, the slasher knife-wielding killer he got from Psycho. He basically took elements from Psycho, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Black Christmas, and mixed them all up in a big bowl and came up with Halloween. Like I said, Halloween's a classic. Unfortunately, it's not a movie I can watch repeatedly. If I had to choose one of the two movies to watch, I would watch Rob Zombie's version. That's going to piss a lot of people off, too. But I am a blood and gore person. I love gore. I love blood. I love graphic scenes of people getting stabbed and beaten with baseball bats and whatnot. Rob Zombie's remake I enjoyed. I thoroughly enjoyed going back and seeing Michael Myers as a kid and seeing what, you know, he went through. Now, granted, just because your mom's a fucking stripper and your stepdad calls you names, I don't think that's the recipe to make a soulless killer. But it was cool seeing, you know, how he gradually, you know, withdrew from society and quit talking. And I really enjoyed that movie. And like I said, if I had to pick between one of the two to watch, I'd watch the remake. Now, the Halloween franchise turned into a joke through the 80s. But that's a whole other topic of discussion. Up next, we have Prom Night. The original was made in 1980. Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, fresh off the heels of Halloween and Terror Train. I don't remember if Terror Train came out before or after Prom Night, but she was turning into, you know, the queen of the Scream Queens. It's a watchful movie. It's boring. The one thing that I will always remember from this movie, I remember it from when I was a kid, is when they're in the van and he opens up the book and it's all hollowed out with a bunch of fucking joints in it. For some reason, that part of the movie sticks out in my brain and always will. But like I said, the movie's watchable. It's nothing great. It was remade in 2008. I haven't seen it, and I will never see it. That's for sure. It just looks like complete and utter garbage to me, and I'm not going to go into a movie that's just garbage like that. Up next, we have April Fool's Day. The original came out in 1986, and I haven't watched it now that I'm an adult, but I watched it when I was a kid, preteen. I loved it. I did not see that ending coming up, and I'm not going to ruin it for you because it kind of is a hidden gem. I don't know if everyone has seen it, but the ending, twist ending, like I said, I haven't seen it since I was a kid. It could be super fucking cheesy, and you know, you could see it coming a mile away, but I'm just harking back to when I was a kid, and that I did not see that ending coming, and it fucking blew my mind, and I thought it was awesome as shit. As a matter of fact, I think I might go ahead and rewatch this movie later today. I'll let you know how I feel about it now. But actually, I'm still trying to get through these fucking Silent Night, Deadly Night movies. Jesus Christ. Yeah, you'll hear about that. Anyways, it was remade in 2008. I have not seen it, so I don't know if the remake was any good. I know I started to watch it, and it seemed really shitty, so I shut it off, which I tend to do that quite a bit. This movie was really the beginning of well, it looks like it was the first horror movie remake that went right to video, because it, as far as the figures, I can find that it cost $5 million to make, but I cannot find any money coming back from it. And I don't remember this movie being in the theater, so I'm assuming it was a direct-to-video. After that, we have Last House on the Left, which was a remake of The Virgin Spring. At least the idea of it was. The whole parents' revenge on daughter's rapist, or rapers, whatever. Yeah, Wes Craven has credited The Virgin Spring as giving him the idea to make Last House on the Left. Now, I've never seen The Virgin Spring. I have seen Last House on the Left, the original, and I loved that movie. That movie was fucking awesome, man. I remember the first time I seen it. I didn't see it till I was an adult, till I was like 18 years old, if you want to call. I wasn't maybe physically an adult, but not mentally. But anyways, I seen it, and it blew my mind. I had never seen anything like that up to that point. No, I had not seen I Spit on Your Grave yet. I had not seen Mother's Day yet. So the rape revenge genre was just new to me, because that was shit my mom didn't let me watch growing up. Everything but the rape revenge genre. So this was my first introduction to a rape revenge movie, and it blew my fucking mind. I'd never seen anything that graphic and that filthy feeling and that intense. And I loved it. It was instantly in my top 10 movies. So when the talk of the remake came out, I was very skeptical. There's no way no way they could touch the original. And I was right. They completely destroyed that fucking movie. I went to the theater to see that movie with some friends and was fucking pissed. My friends loved it. Oh, that was a great movie. But they had never seen the original. So I wanted to spit on them. They had no idea what the fuck they were talking about. These were not friends, but, you know, friends. People that didn't share the same interests as me, but we hung out and watched football and UFC together and whatnot. Got drunk and shit. But that movie was fucking awful. And if I keep talking about it, I'm just going to get more angry. Speaking of getting more angry, we're moving on to Friday the 13th. The original was made in 1980. You know, it's a classic. It's not my favorite of the series. My favorite is Part 2 with the introduction of Jason Voorhees. But the original, you know, it was a new concept. The whole camp counselors deal hadn't been done before. It's a good movie. By all means, it's a great movie. The remake, on the other hand, was a complete piece of shit. It was very rushed. They mixed the story of Pamela Voorhees and Jason Voorhees. The mom got, 3 minutes at the beginning? This movie was unbelievably bad. And I was so fucking pissed when I left the movie theater. When I went with the same group of friends who, it was a good movie. It's like, fuck you, man. Do you have any soul? Do you have any integrity? They demolished this fucking movie, man. It's like they threw it together as fast as they could to get it out there and make some fucking money. And unfortunately, it made money, so they're going to keep fucking doing it. Oh, I was so mad, and I still am. And I thought, you know, because I'm not a big pothead, but on the way to the theater, when a couple of my friends were smoking a joint, and I took a puff off the joint, got a little high and went in there. So I thought maybe that was skewing my view on it. So when it was available to download, I rewatched it and was just as angry as I was before. Oh, man, I could go into such detail on how horrible this movie is, but I'm not. I'm going to go on to Stepfather. The original Stepfather came out in 1987. Had Terry Quinn, Locke from Lost. He actually had some hair back then. And I remember seeing this when I was a kid. I enjoyed the original, enjoyed the sequel to it. The remake, not nearly as good. I mean, it's a watchable movie. That's about all you can give it. The guy that's playing the stepfather just doesn't have it. You know, Terry Quinn had it. Is it Terry Quinn or Terry O'Quinn? It's one of the two. But he had it. Just that crazy element. The guy from Nip Tuck that did the sequel or the remake just didn't have it. But I mean, like I said, overall it's a watchable movie. After that we have My Bloody Valentine. The original came out in 1981. I remember this one as a kid. I haven't seen it since I was an adult, but I remember as a kid it was a decent movie. I enjoyed it. I really can't expand too much on it because I don't remember too much about it. I did watch the remake, and the remake was, once again, it's watchable. You know, plenty of TNA, plenty of blood. I believe the story changes up a little bit in the remake. It's nothing that I'll watch again in the next 10 years, but, you know, it's worth a watch. All right, next up we have one that's a sore spot for a lot of people. It's the Nightmare on Elm Street remake. The original came out in 1984 and is a classic. Unfortunately, Wes Craven suffered in this movie from bad effects. The special effects, you know, for 1984 were not that good. And I don't know if it's because he only had a budget of $1.8 million, but... And it's hard because of the element that he's working with, the whole concept of dreams and nightmares, and you need great special effects to bring a nightmare to life. The whole scene with Freddy in the alleyway and his arms get all long, that looks awful. I mean, the effects in a lot of the effects in this movie are just bad. But, you know, it was a classic, and it is a classic, and it was a great movie. The remake, I think, gets a lot of bad heat. I mean, it's not a bad movie. I only watched it once, but I enjoyed it when I watched it, and most people don't. I think Freddy in the new one is much scarier than Freddy in the old one. I think his face looks more realistic, like a burn victim would look. Robert Englund's Freddy didn't in the original. Don't get me wrong, I wouldn't say that the remake is better than the original on this one, but I think the remake gets a lot of you know, bad talk, and it doesn't deserve it. It's a good horror movie. And I'm probably pissing all kinds of people off with, you know, picking the Dawn of the Dead remake and the Halloween remake over the originals, and actually giving a little bit of good talk to the Nightmare on Elm Street remake. Everyone seems to hate it, but, you know, fuck it, whatever, it's my opinion. If you don't like it, call me. Write me. Let me know. And we're going to end everything here with Piranha. I've never seen the original Piranha movie or the sequel. That came out in 1978. And I know James Cameron did the sequel. That was basically the start of his career. I've never seen either one, so I can't expand too much on that. Looks like the movie was actually remade for Showtime in 1995. They had Soleil Moon Frye, you know, Punky Brewster, and Mila Kunis. Must have been real young in this movie. I've never seen that one either. It doesn't look like many people have. But this past year, it was remade in 3D, and it's just fucking awesome. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a classic movie. It's not, you know, a 10-star movie. But if you want to go and watch just a fun, bloody horror movie, this is the movie for you. I thought it was a great remake. Like I said, I haven't seen the original, so I can't tell you if it was better than the original or not. But it definitely is a good movie. It's a movie that I'll watch more than once. Which, you know, in the horror genre, is hard to find a good horror movie that you watch more than once. But you do with Piranha 3D, and I'm looking forward to the sequel. So there you have it. That's my list of horror movie remakes. Wrap up this episode. Horror movie remakes. They can be great, or they can be complete and utter shit. Actually, you know, most of them are pretty ho-hum. Average run-of-the-mill horror movies that, if you don't hold up to the original, aren't too bad. You get some that are just absolutely atrocious. Friday the 13th remake comes to mind. Or you get some that are an instant classic, an absolute gem. Dawn of the Dead remake comes to mind. Horror movies, they make money, so they will keep coming out. Regardless of what we think, they'll just keep putting them out. They will definitely destroy a lot of your great memories your great childhood horror movie memories. So we're going to have to get used to it, unfortunately, unless someone out there listening is a billionaire and can come and save us from this. But I don't see that happening. So that's that when it comes to horror movie remakes. We're going to end things here. Just to let everybody know, I am on iTunes now. If you go on iTunes and you search Horrorcore Podcast, my episodes will pop up. I'm also on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook under Horrorcore Bart. I do believe I'm the only Horrorcore Bart on Facebook, so you can find me and friend me there. Definitely always updating things through my Facebook page. Any new info I share with people. I also like to put trailers on there from horror movies, alternate endings from movies I'll post on there. And I'm also going to start putting questions on there. I'm going to put the question on there, favorite horror movie remakes, and hopefully I'll get some feedback. Don't have a lot of friends on there yet, just started that page, so go ahead and find me on there and friend me. Like I said before, email me at horrorcorebart@yahoo.com, and you can give me a call at 269-823-9037. Give me some feedback, I'll put you on the show. All right. Till next time, everybody, make sure you keep it horrorcore.
Whoa.